Hello, fellow Earthlings. It's me, Bailey. Welcome to my podcast, The Conscious Buzz, where we chat about all things conscious living, holistic self-care, and the ways in which you can step into your highest evolvement in order to show up fully for yourself, other beings, and the Earth. Our planet is in an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation right now, and the world needs each and every one of us to own our truth, step into our power, and take action on behalf of our and the planet's highest good. I am here to remind you that collective healing happens on an individual level. Without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, dear humans, earthlings, creators, lovers, laughers. As our world changes, I wanted to come in with a gentle reminder that it's okay for us to change too. And it's okay for the way that things have always been done to be questioned. And for us to ask what needs to be asked. And it's more than okay for you to consider doing things in a different way than they have always been done. And to step off the path most traveled and go in a direction that feels a little more daunting and a little less known. So on this topic, today I want to speak about my decision to take a gap year and eventually my choice not to go to college. What propelled me to make these decisions, a few of the most pertinent lessons I have learned, and I also want to offer some guidance and support to those of you who may be thinking about taking a gap year or maybe considering just an alternative life path. And whether you're getting ready to exit high school or you're in the middle of your undergrad studies or you've graduated from all the schooling and you're just confused about your next step, this episode has something for you. So without further ado, let's begin. Despite what may feel obvious, my decision to take a gap year was not an easy one that I made overnight at all. It wasn't even my idea in the first place, actually. For the longest time, my dream was to move straight to New York after high school and pursue a career in fashion design. My whole life, I had always been the kid who knew the answer to that infamous question, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" The summer before my senior year of high school, I went up to New York City and I took a course at Parsons, the New School for Design, which is the number one fashion school in the country. So it was an incredible experience that I am so grateful for. But long story short, it just wasn't what I thought it would be. I didn't have the passion for it that I thought that I would. And I had to completely reevaluate what I thought I wanted to do with my life, who I was, what I wanted. I felt lost, confused, discouraged, and sad. I went from being so certain of who I was and what I wanted to having absolutely no idea. I literally had a quarter-life crisis before quarter-life crises were even cool. So I convinced myself that the best thing for me to do would be to do exactly what everyone else was doing. I applied to the school that all of my friends were going to. I got accepted. I enrolled, got a roommate, paid my deposit. I was geared up and ready to go. But I did not by any means have a traditional upbringing. My family is one full of free spirits and big thinkers. For this, I am eternally grateful for. So it was actually my mom's idea that I take a gap year because she was like, "Hey, you know, you don't have to do what everyone else is doing. Just because something is done this way doesn't mean that it's the right way to do it." And believe it or not, I was absolutely not into the idea of this at first. You know, I wanted to go do what all of my friends were doing. I was ready to squeeze myself into this mold of the status quo and just go do what everyone else was doing. You know, launch myself off the cliff because that's what the crowd was doing. And the idea of not doing that was terrifying because I did not know a single person even considering the idea of taking a gap year. So why would I want to be the only person doing that. You know, I think that around that age, like high school age, the pressure of conformity is so strong, and any idea of stepping out of that and like ostracizing yourself, even in the smallest way, feels paralyzing. And it was so scary to think about. But anyway, she planted a seed, and as they do, seeds grow. And I started to think, and I realized that I really had no idea whatsoever what I would want to study. And maybe, just maybe, the idea of taking some time off of school and getting to travel and get to know myself a little bit better started to sound kind of cool. Sounded nice, you know. Maybe have some like big life moments like they do in the movies where you fix all your problems, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, eventually I decided, okay, fine, I'm gonna do this thing. I think deep down I knew that if I dove right into the college culture straight out of high school while I was as confused as I was about the direction that I wanted my life to move in, I honestly would have partied my way into oblivion and focused all of my studies on these three subjects and these three subjects only: party, bars, and boys. Not even gonna lie about it. I have never been a big fan of school at all. But side note, I love learning and I value education on a really deep level, but the school system annoys the crap out of me and I don't like it. And I don't think that I thrive in that kind of an environment. So anyway, I knew deep down I would have been miserable and I wouldn't have been my best self had I not been guided by some deeper commitment to a larger vision for my life. So going in with no direction and no real idea of why I was there and what I was studying, I would have just gotten distracted. I also just want to remind everybody that part of this human experience is understanding that we can't have all the experiences. Discernment is such a crucial part of living an engaged life because we have to make decisions. We have to choose sometimes one experience over another. And yeah, I will own fully the fact that I have absolutely no idea what it is like to go to college. I can imagine what it's like, but I've never actually experienced it firsthand. And I never will, not in this lifetime. That is an experience that I willingly sacrifice in exchange for something else. And yeah, I would have had fun. It would have been I would be a completely different person. Now I would not be where I am today. So this is just a reminder that we say no to something, but when we say no to one thing, we are also saying yes to a shitload of other things. And it comes down to you knowing yourself well enough to decide what you want to say yes to in this life and what you want to say no to. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into some of the lessons that I have learned because of this time. All right, so a big lesson that is 100% going to sound super cliche. I'm not even going to lie about it, but it's still important and it's relevant for me to share. And it is that we blossom in unfamiliar places and we grow when we are uncomfortable. I believe firmly that the opposite of our comfort zone is not our discomfort zone. It is our growth zone. Give this one a little thought. Who are you in your comfort zone? And who are you in your growth zone? Chances are, in your growth zone, you're so much closer to who you actually are. Because we blossom, we come forth in those points of challenging growth. And I also want to highlight that when I say get out of your comfort zone, I do not necessarily mean just buy a plane ticket and blast off. Yes, that is one way to do it. But let me tell you, one of the scariest parts of this time for me was the simple decision to not do things the way that they are usually done. I didn't buy any plane ticket for that. I didn't drive anywhere for that. It was just a decision. And yes, of course, my travels taught me a ton. And my physical placement in unfamiliar places contributed greatly to my overall growth. But I think that this idea that it has to be a physical displacement is one of the major roadblocks in our growth. It's honoring our authenticity in each and every moment, acknowledging that that is not comfortable, but the commitment to that in small ways is how we grow the most. It's the little stuff. Okay, second lesson. Making friends as an adult is only hard because we make it this way. Because we think that there is some preconceived expectation for how we need to be showing up. So we change ourselves, we dilute ourselves in order to feel palatable and manageable for the other person. And we tuck away our most engaging and exciting parts for fear of being too much or, God forbid, too weird. Embrace your weirdness, dude. Being weird is like the whole point. And when you travel, you are a stranger and so is everybody else. And it's ironic, but feeling like a stranger makes it so much easier to stay true to who you are. It's so much easier to know a stranger fully because there's no framework or mold that you have to squeeze yourself into to be accepted by this friend group or this community or just this person that you're advertising yourself to. You're just you. And the person that you're speaking to is just them. So in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you create a deeper and more profound bond than you have with the person that you've been getting lunch with every week for a year. One of the major things that I learned during this time, and honestly continue to learn and understand a little bit deeper every single second of every single day, is just how important it is to trust that God, the universe, source, whatever you want to call it, it is within you always. It has your back and it will guide you. You just have to allow it. You have to get out of your own way. And when your life feels completely upside down and so terribly impossible to navigate, bring yourself back to all the times it felt impossible before and reflect on how you made it out alive and how you grew because of it and how oftentimes you are led to something even greater as a result. What happened when I went up to New York felt like the end of the freaking world because in a way it was the end of my world at that moment. But now looking back, I wouldn't have had it any other way. And if it had been any other way, I wouldn't be who I am or where I am today. So stop planning all of the things. Just stop it and stop, you know, freaking out when things don't work out just right. The universe wants to support you. But make no mistake, that doesn't mean that everything is always easy. Every little thing that you do and say has an impact. And when things feel like failure or rejection, it's just feedback. You're just being redirected. That's all. And you don't have to have it all figured out. Allow yourself to trust in the powers that be, the powers that are so much bigger than the plans and ideas that you're so attached to, that we are so attached to. We are energetic beings existing in an energetic realm. Separation and linear time are an illusion. that kind of segues into another one of my lessons, which was just a gentle little reminder of the interconnectedness of all things. So we hear about the law of attraction all the time because, you know, people are obsessed with the acquisition of things. So we want to know how we can attract them to us. But that's only one of 12 universal laws. Another one of those laws is the law of oneness, which states that we are all connected. And what we do to another, we do to ourselves. So the energy that you put out into the world is tangible. And the words that you speak, the actions that you take have an impact, and they will come back to you. And though it may feel as though there's separation between us and the people on the other side of the planet, there's not. We're made of the same stuff, and we're woven together by the life force of the universe. We are threads in a fabric. Okay, so let's just go ahead and tie in a couple of the other lessons that I have written down. They're all kind of, it's all kind of one giant lesson. Isn't life just one big lesson? You know, everything kind of feeds into everything else. The more that you learn and the more complex things seem to get, the more simple things actually get, if that makes any sense. If you know, you know. So this lesson is about my old friend, my now enemy, materialism. How the satisfaction provided to us via material objects is fleeting. Fleeting. Does not last. It's fake news. And traveling to the countries that I did, my eyes were peeled wide open to the spiritual bankruptcy that permeates American culture. Yeah, we have a lot of shit, but honestly, it's nothing more than just that. And we spend our whole lives moving through a system that has a very specific vision of what our lives are supposed to look like. We're supposed to get the job, have the car, do the mortgage, buy the couch, do the things, work, 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 retire. And then what? So we spend our lives accumulating these things that we're told we need in order to be worthy, to be successful, to be enough. Then we get to the end of our lives. We can't take those things with us to wherever it is that we're going. And then we look back and we're like, wow, I spent all that time working at that job that I fucking hated. I wish I'd spent more time with my family. Because yeah, I made a lot of money and I bought a lot of nice velvet couches. But like, I didn't really have any real relationships or like real life experiences. Materialism is a disease and America is infected. Part of the time that I spent volunteering was in Costa Rica. That was the first place that I went. I went with a company called IVHQ and I volunteered in childcare, which I'll talk a little bit about in a second. By definition, in comparison to America, Costa Rica is a poor country. People do not have a lot. And because of this, I think this culture of Western world savior volunteerism exists where I go to these countries with the idea that we need to save them, help them, rescue them. They need us because they have so little. They're so misfortunate. They're so poor. No. No, 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 no. 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 I am 100% confident, without a shadow of a doubt, that the people I interacted with in Costa Rica provided so much more to me than I was able to provide for them. And it wasn't until after my trip that I realized I was the one that needed help. We, the Western world, the birthplace of materialism, we are the ones that lack. We are the ones that are starved. So like I mentioned, while I was there, I was volunteering with kids, which is something I will never do again, ever. And I would not recommend it because A, The problems that these children are dealing with are not things that macaroni necklaces can fix. And B, volunteers coming to these places for just enough time to bond, but not long enough to affect sustainable change within the systems that perpetuate the problem. All we're really doing is risking harm by creating further separation anxiety damage and abandonment issues. So, okay, obviously when I was over there and volunteering, I wasn't thinking about this. These lessons are a result of reflection and just some critical thinking. So I have been thinking critically about volunteer culture. And unless you are going to go somewhere for at least 6 months and get your hands dirty with dismantling and reshaping the system in question, then I think it's problematic. For example, the kids that I was working with at the daycare, a lot of them had rotting teeth, neglected ear infections, dirty clothes, dirty hair, broken shoes, you name it. These things are just symptoms of extreme poverty and intergenerational familial trauma, lack of resources, lack of government support, etc. So like I said, unless you're ready to go get in there with the root cause and really do some darn tootin' work, I don't know if I can speak to the efficacy of it. Because it's not happiness, joy, and fun that these children are lacking. So that's what I mean about them teaching me and providing me with far more value than I was able to provide for them. So sometimes I wonder if we, the volunteers, subconsciously go to these places to witness the perceived misfortune of others in order to garner some profound lesson about our own lives, our own existence, or to make us more grateful for the lives and the things that we have. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, why do we, and I'm not saying anyone does this on purpose. I did not go over there with that objective. Obviously, I went over there because I thought that, like I said, I was going to be of some huge help. And, you know, this is a big can of worms. So I'm not going to go into it anymore because I'll be here for hours, but I'm not saying either that I have the answer to this. I'm just asking questions. And, you know, what do you think about it? It's a big conversation, but it's something that I think is really important to consider. I think I've like kind of touched on this, but I want to come in and say it very clearly. A really big lesson is that you do not have to go far away to have a transformative experience. Our capability as human beings to transform and evolve continuously, no matter what, no matter where we are, no matter if we're in a country far away or if we're on our couch in our living room. It's amazing what we're capable of doing. And we get to choose to evolve. That's incredible. Other animals don't have that choice. We have free will. We get to decide, okay, am I going to stay here on this plane of existence, on this level of consciousness, or am I going to up level, get some internal alchemy going on and rise up and step a little bit closer to my higher evolvement? And you don't have to go far away to do that. The internal exploration that we go on in this lifetime has so much more potential than the external explorations that we go on in this lifetime. And there's a time and a place for both, but please don't fool yourself into thinking that you have to buy a plane ticket in order to have a transformation. This is nice and short and sweet, but I just want to come in with the reminder that having faith in the universe, trusting in the powers that be, taking those leaps of faith, and believing firmly that everything happens for a reason does not mean that everything makes sense all the time, nor does it mean that sometimes things don't just suck. Because you guys, a lot of times things don't really make that much sense. And things quite often just suck. And that's okay. There has to be enough space in our lives for two things to exist at once. This is a world of duality. We can have what is incredible, what is amazing, what is joyful, what is blissful, while also holding the space for what sucks, for what's painful and uncomfortable and annoying and frustrating and scary. And you don't have to have all the answers. It doesn't have to make sense. But you can still trust. You can still trust in the process. You can still step into that beautiful cosmic flow that is waiting for you. It's waiting for you to stop resisting. Because I promise you, if something doesn't make sense and if something does suck, you trying to fix it, you trying to control it, isn't going to make it better, and it's not going to make it make more sense. So why make it harder for yourself by trying to micromanage and control it? Let it be. Let it be. Step into the flow of life. Surrender. Surrender to the universe. Okay, and we're coming in close on wrapping this up. We got one more lesson after this, and then I'll talk a little bit more about how to figure out if this is the right stuff for you, etc. Anyway, this lesson is near and dear to my heart, and I want to make it super clear to everybody because it may be something that's holding you back from taking the leap and making this decision. And it is that saying no to college does not mean that you are saying no to an education. You don't have to go to college to be an educated and successful person. You really don't. I was not saying no to education and knowledge and wisdom and growth. I was saying no to tradition. I was saying no to the way that things are usually done. Just because something is usually done in a certain way does not mean that it has to or should be done in that way. The world grows, the world expands when people ask, well, what about this? Have you tried this? Does it have to be that way? Has anyone done this? So if you are sitting there listening to this podcast because you're confused, because the way that things are done doesn't feel quite right for you, good. Take a deep breath, because that means you're being called to move in a direction that is unusual. You're being called to walk down a path that is not usually walked on. And that's incredible. That is how we move forwards. So just remember, there's nothing wrong with college. It has its place. And if it is something that is a part of your path, good. Go. Go on purpose. Go to college on purpose. But don't go just because you think it's what you need to do. Because you do not have to go to college to be educated or successful. And my final lesson is one that I think is really important. And it's probably not as pretty sounding and esoteric and profound as the other ones, but it's important. And it is the reminder that it is okay to not know. My gap year, this incredible adventure that I had, this unbelievably profound learning experience and life-changing time of my life was a direct result of me not knowing what the fuck I wanted to do with my life. No one knows what they're doing, honestly. Some people are just better at faking it than others. And there's so much bravery and there's so much beauty in being able to admit that you don't know what you're doing, that you are confused. Because things are supposed to be confusing. It's fine. Honestly, it really is. Sometimes I still don't know what I'm doing. I know myself, but I don't always know what I'm doing. And if we can get to that point, if we can get to that point of knowing ourselves but not being okay with not always knowing what we're doing, we're set. And just because someone goes to college or doesn't go to college or does this program or doesn't do this program doesn't really mean anything. Okay, people still don't know shit. And I know plenty of people who have gone to college and are way more confused about things than I am, who went to college and don't want to do what they studied. So now they feel guilty because they're not using their degree, or they feel obliged to go into a certain line of work so that that money and time wasn't wasted. So, you know, everyone is confused, and anyone that tells you that they're not is extra confused and maybe even a little bit of a liar. So embrace the unknown, because when we say, I don't know, what we're really saying is, I trust. I trust that even though my limited human mind and the lens of experience that I see this world through is not capable of conceptualizing the magic, the serendipity, and the wonder that is possible for me. When we say, I don't know, we're saying, I have faith in the bounty and the abundance and the beauty of the universe, of God, of love, of source, of the powers that be, whatever you want to call it. When we say, I don't know, we surrender ourselves to the beauty of what it means to be alive. So you don't have to go to college to be an educated, successful person. That is really just like what I want to say. For those of you who are confused and are like, holy fuck, I don't want to go to college, but what am I going to do with my life? Chill. Everything's going to be cool. It's fine. You're good. Don't worry. Take a deep breath. And just relax. If you have made it this far, sweet. I am about to dive into how to discern if taking a gap year is for you. And also, if anyone is feeling just confused in general about where they are in life right now, if they even want to go to college, what they want to do, I'm going to do my best to offer a little bit of guidance that is hopefully comforting and maybe even enlightening. So this is for the people who for sure want to go to college because you know what you want to do. You have always kind of had an idea of the direction that your life is going to go in, and you know that college is a necessary step to do that. But you're still feeling kind of overwhelmed because you just finished, you know, 12 years of schooling, and before diving into this new, very different, very intense chapter of your life, you want to take a little bit of time off to get to know yourself better, have some life experience, maybe travel, maybe volunteer, maybe even work, whatever it is that you want to do. So if you already just kind of feel a calling to do this and your path has led you to listening to this podcast, it's a sign that this is what you're supposed to do. You know, we're led in the direction that we are supposed to move in. So if your life has brought you to this point, it's probably because taking a gap year is the right step for you. Another really good way to tell if a decision is in alignment with you is asking yourself if the idea of it makes you feel expansive, or does it make you feel a contraction in your body? So when we feel expansive, it's that same feeling of when we're laughing and our chest is open and our head is thrown back and we're taking it all in. Our body is big. We're not afraid to be open and to be seen. Whereas contraction is how we feel when we're angry or cold or scared and our shoulders cave in, our chest closes up, we cross our arms in front of our body to protect ourselves. So if the idea of it makes you feel expansive, go for it. If it makes you feel a contraction, maybe reconsider. It might not be the right choice for you. Our visceral response to stuff is often much clearer than our noisy brain. You know, that's our visceral response is our intuition. It's like gut feeling. If you have a gut feeling that this is what you're supposed to do, then do it. Just do it. Just do it. So, it'll also, you know, give you, if you're unsure about if college is the right decision for you, take a gap year. Don't just go to go because it's the right, because it's told to be the right thing to do. You know, you have to be the pioneer of your life, be the driver, be in the driver's seat of your life. And if you're confused about whether or not college is the right step for you, take this time, go take a gap year, get a job in a certain, in something that you're interested in, volunteer in a field that you're interested in or not, or just travel, see the world, explore, get to know yourself a little bit better. Like I said earlier, if we know ourselves and we can still openly admit that we don't really know what we're doing, then we're in a really good place. So knowing yourself will take you so much farther than having knowledge of external things in the world. My ultimate decision was to not go. I did not go to college. I almost went 4 times. I almost went to Auburn, then I almost went to Birmingham Southern, and then I almost went to the University of California in both Santa Cruz and Santa Barbara. These are all schools that I toured extensively, got accepted into, and seriously considered going to. But every single time, something within me was like, I don't think that this is your path. I just don't think this is right for you. So I didn't go. It was terrifying, but exhilarating all at the same time, because I knew deep within me, after the things that I had learned about myself over my gap year, that the life I wanted to create for myself, college was not a necessary step. It was not a necessary step. And you know, something that I really, really want to highlight is to not live your life in pursuit of someone else's idea of success. Success is subjective. What does success look like to you? And that might be a really good thing for you to start to unpack for yourself, journal about what does success mean to you and what is the vision of your ideal, most fulfilling life? What are you doing? How are you showing up? How do you feel? Where are you? Who are you engaged with? What are you putting forth into the world? That's what I'm saying about this process of getting to know yourself. Don't just go to college by default. Go on purpose, or don't go on purpose. Live your life on a purpose. And to all of my people out there who are just confused about what to do with your life, it's okay. Like, seriously, it's fine. There's so much pressure on us to know what we want to do and to be in a certain place at a certain time. And it's absurd. And this goes back to what I was saying about just because something is done a certain way does not mean that it is the way, that it is the right way or the way that it should be done. The fact that we are supposed to know what we want to do with our lives when we're 17, 18 years old is crazy. You know, and we spend an ass ton of money to go to school to get a degree in something that we don't even really care about. And then we leave school and we feel obligated to pursue a path in accordance with this degree that we just spent an ass ton of money off on so that we can make the money to pay off the debt in a job that we hate. And then we work 60, 80, 90, 1,000-hour weeks for what? To make money, to live your life later. Live your life now. Live your life on purpose. If college is calling you, go. If college is not calling you, consider other options. You get to be the master of your decisions. Don't let other people make your decisions for you based on old programming and old conditioning. We are moving into a new world. And the way that things have been done will no longer be the way that things are done. Be a pioneer. Be a visionary. Think on purpose. Live on purpose. Do things on purpose. All right, my loves. Before I release you back into the wild, wild world, I want to leave you with a quick recap of where I went, which organizations I worked with, and just a couple of organizations that I have not yet worked with, but plan to as soon as travel becomes a viable and responsible option again. So first off, my first trip was to Costa Rica, and I went with an organization called IVHQ, which stands for International Volunteers High Quality. They have volunteer opportunities all over the world, and there are so many things that they offer besides childcare. But obviously, you are your own human and you make your own decisions. So if childcare is calling you, then I cannot stop you. I just wanted to ask those questions, share my own personal experience and viewpoints based on my experience, and just kind of invite you to look at things in a new way. But ultimately, you do you. Overall, it was a really well-organized trip. They were super easy to communicate with. Everything was easy to organize. You do have to pay to volunteer with them, and the money covers your accommodation, airport pickup, food, and in-country support. So like if anything happens to you while you're there, you have 24/7 support while you are in that country, which I think is pretty cool. Second place that I went was to South Africa. I was connected with a local volunteer organization called Africa Soul through a larger middleman called Go Eco. I was volunteering in wildlife conservation efforts over there, and I worked at monkey sanctuaries. Never get a pet monkey, ever. It is not good for the monkey. Do not do it. No matter how cute they are, do not get a pet monkey. I repeat, do not get a pet monkey. Cheetah sanctuaries, nature reserves, etc. It was incredible. The cost, again, I had to pay to volunteer with them. So the cost of that covered accommodation, some food. They didn't provide all of our meals, which kind of frustrated me just based on the cost of how much it was to work with them. But we took a weekly trip to the grocery store to get any extra foods that we wanted that weren't provided. They provided stuff like bread, deli meat, and cheese. So I will say that I wish better food options and more food had been available. It definitely was not my healthiest time. So that would be my only little tidbit of feedback for them if they ever listen to this podcast. Airport pickup was also covered, as well as travel to and from all of the volunteer stations. So we all the volunteers lived in one house together, and we were put into a little van bus thing every morning and taken to where it was that we were going that day to work. I would definitely recommend wildlife, animal, nature conservation work as an avenue for volunteering. You will learn and grow so much, and I think that it is a really effective way to give back. But you know, as usual, be considerate of how long you go. So make sure that you dedicate enough time to wherever it is that you're going to try to offset some of the impact from the traveling that you do to get there. So don't take a flight all the way to South Africa to work there for a week and then fly over somewhere else, because all of the times that you're hopping into an airplane, you're basically just undoing and then some environmental damage that you would maybe be mitigating as you work in these places. If I've learned anything in my life, it's that you can't do anything 100% right and completely harmlessly. There's almost always a downside to something. So just be conscious, mindful, and intentional about the way that you go about things. Capiche? During that first gap year, the last thing that I did was road tripping out west with a couple that I met in South Africa. So we didn't go with any organization. It was just us. Let me tell you, if you go on a road trip and you plan on living in a tiny van, not a cute like van life van with your boo that you love so much, but your third wheeling, make sure that you have very clear boundary communication skills and that you love them very much. I love these people so much, but obviously I think traveling with a couple would be a lot for anyone. So yes, make sure that when you are road tripping, you're going with someone that you love and that you have very clear and concise boundary communication skills. Road tripping is such an amazing way to see the world though. So I would totally recommend adding that to your list of things that you want to explore. I'm excited for all the trips that I have to come. They're not planned at all, but you know, I'm always dreaming, always thinking. So yeah, definitely recommend getting out there on the road and marveling at the world. Make sure that you always have gas though. At one point we were on like this really long ass road in the middle of the desert with no civilization in sight. And our tank was a little too low for comfort. And honestly, it was really terrifying. We had no service. There were almost no other cars on the road. So how do we run out of gas in the middle of the summer in the desert? I don't really know what would have happened. So stay on top of your gas if you go road tripping. As I mentioned earlier, this gap year experience kind of trickled out into being a couple years long. So additionally, I went to Mexico, but I planned that trip with my sisters and we were just going to travel together and spend some quality time together. And it was a beautiful trip. We had an amazing time. I loved it. I also went to Ireland. I went out there with a company called EF Tours. It's like Education First, I think is what it stands for. So you have a tour guide, you're with a whole group and they take you to places and like teach you the history of the country that you're in, all about the culture. So we were in Ireland. It was a lot of old history and like lots of churches. We did go to see a lot of the natural monuments and just the beauty of the country. Oh my gosh, it's so green. It's amazing. And I met some super incredible people on that trip. I actually ended up meeting the hiring manager for the company that I worked for the following summer with MLA, which was a tour guiding group that I worked for up in New York City. Working with Italian students and taking them around the city. So I love the way life just falls together sometimes. And then I ended up going to Italy as well, which that one was, I was not with any kind of an organization. I just went over there by myself and honestly wondering why I ever came back. All right. So the two organizations that I mentioned that I have not actually worked with, but I'm super excited that I know about them because I am dying to work with them at some point in the future, are WOFing, which stands for the Worldwide Organization of Organic Farming, and WorkAway. Both are work exchange organizations, meaning that all you have to pay for is whatever it costs to get you there. Then, once you're there, you exchange your labor in order for food and accommodation. Sometimes people even pay you a weekly allowance, but most of the time it's just a work exchange. Most of the work available is going to be working on farms, hence the Worldwide Organization of Organic Farming. Or if you're going to go with WorkAway, you could do something like being an au pair, nannying, teaching English to kids of a family, working at a hostel, which is something I really want to do because most hostels are run by super young, cool, progressive people who just love traveling and meeting other humans. So that's definitely on my bucket list for all of the gap years I intend on taking in the future. This is a super budget-friendly way to travel, as well as a way to really fully and effectively integrate yourself into the place that you're going and become a part of casual everyday living by getting to know a local family or working with like a hostel, which I just think is so cool. So you're not part of like a volunteer organization, which kind of puts you on the outside. It's like, you know, the outside looking in, like you're in there, you're living with a family, you're living in a hostel with people who know the area, maybe even have been there their whole lives, which I think is super cool. My only relatively firsthand experience with either of these organizations is by living vicariously through my sister. She lived in New Zealand for 8 months, woofing her way across the country. And oh my gosh, the stories from her trip that she has shared with me sound like something out of a movie. So I am beyond convinced and cannot wait to move to New Zealand and never come back ever. So I think that is all of the little tidbits that I have. I will say my favorite place to buy plane tickets is Skyscanner. They usually have the cheapest flights. But, you know, if you want cheap travel budgeting tips, don't look at me. I can – everything that I've learned from people who specialize in budget traveling. There's so many resources out there. So, you know, look for them. Find them. Do your research. There's incredible people out there who dedicate their lives to traveling cheaply. And yeah, go to them. Go to them. All right, you guys, recording this took me a hot second just trying to figure out what to share, what not to share, how to say it, how to provide you with the most value, etc. I honestly feel like I just gave birth. Oh my gosh. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, for listening to this. And I hope more than anything that you found some peace, wisdom, inspiration in the things that I have shared today. If anything at all came up and you have questions about something specific that I can elaborate on, do not hesitate at all to reach out to me via Instagram, which is @_haybales, HAYBAILS. If you enjoyed this puppy, I would super appreciate it if you would screenshot and share it on your Insta story. Don't forget to tag me. Share it with your friends. Leave me a review. All the things. You are amazing. And remember, if you take anything away from today, remember that not knowing is okay. And saying I don't know is another way of saying I trust. You got this, and I love you.